Welcome to another edition of the Throwback Podcast. This is your host, Ryan the Pot Man, and look who's finally back.
It's me, Jimmy the Radio Man, Daddy.
It's finally good to see you back, Jimmy.
It's good to be back, Ryan.
Man, you were gone a long time. Now, some of our listeners forgot or didn't know, Jimmy has been gone the last couple of shows because, well, Jimmy, you should probably tell them.
Well, let me tell you something here, Dad. Is I had a bit of a mishap when I made a bet with my uncle. When I told, I could put a scroll down my pants for 30 seconds.
Okay, first of all, I've got to ask, why in the world did you make such a bet with your uncle?
Oh, we were watching old Alvin and the Chipmunk cartoons, Daddy, over the holidays. And my uncle was convinced that I could sing the whole theme song of Alvin and the Chipmunk without the squirrel biting me in the leg.
Well, I don't even want to know why you guys made a bet like that or how that was even thought of. But obviously, you lost that bet.
Nah, man, I won. I won the bet, Daddy.
Wait, you won the bet, but you got bit by a squirrel. That's why you've been gone for these past couple of shows. How? You were in the hospital, man. How in the world did you win that bet?
Oh, my uncle was convinced he would bite me in the leg.
And he did, so I'm confused.
He didn't bite me in the leg. Me in the Florida Oranges region, Daddy.
The Florida Oranges Okay, I think that's all we need to know there. So what kind of bet was this? Where did you even win?
Oh, my uncle gave me this old VHS tape of Kazam.
Kazam? Really? That atrocity of a movie? You bit yourself by a squirrel for that? Oh, man, you know what? Whatever. And folks, we're really glad you're with us today because we have a great show lined up for you. Joining us today will be actress, comedian, and entrepreneur Rhonda Shearer. A lot of you know Rhonda from her time hosting the popular 90s, late 90s TV show USA Up All Night on the USA Network. We talk about her time hosting that popular show, as well as her start in the entertainment business, her time as a model and doing comedy, as well as her clothing line and many other things that she has going on. This is a great interview you do not want to miss. And as always, if you like what you hear today, please be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and wherever you download your favorite podcasts for more exclusive interviews. Also, be sure to drop us a line on Twitter at @ThrowPodcast or on Instagram at @Throwback_Podcast if you enjoyed today's episode. Now here's our exclusive interview with actress and comedian Rhonda Shearer.
You are listening to The Throwback Podcast, your stop for everything 90s. This is a throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time is former host of the TV show USA Up All Night, stand-up comedian and former model Rhonda Shearer. Rhonda, how are you doing?
I'm really good. I'm managing to stay very busy, even though everybody else is hiding. And I'm hiding too, but I'm staying very busy.
And so how you been holding up during this pandemic?
I'm like a hypochondriac on a good day, so yeah. I'm terrified of getting sick. But I have to say that I've been very productive. So I have a line of intimate apparel, of women's intimate apparel called Rhonda Shearer Intimate.
Right.
A huge company, and I sell on the shopping channel, which is CSD in, I think they're calling it Today's Shopping. Oh, I forget. Whatever, it's TSC.
TSC, yeah.
Yeah, you can go to TSC.com or watch TSC, and I'm on quite a bit. My product lives on their site as well.
Okay.
You can find me in Canada. And then also, I'm on the Home Shopping Network, or HSN, here in the States, along with, you know, Amazon and Her Room and RhondaShearer.com. I can be found in a lot of online stores. So what's really interesting is that online has played really well for us during the pandemic. We've always, you know, had a strong internet sales, or I should say good internet sales. It has always been for us. But now, with people shopping from home, we have, knock on wood, I have to knock on wood somewhere, our lines are on fire. So a lot of people have discovered my company and our line because of ads that we're putting out on social media and Instagram,
right.
Facebook, and also they're discovering my site from shopping with me on other places. Starting to ship to Canada as well now. So It's been a really exciting time. So what's been interesting is that my line is not just a celebrity line. Like, my husband and I own it, and we're a vendor. So that means that we take the product from conception to development, the sales. So in an HSN, and all these places, they buy wholesale from us, and then they turn around and sell it.
Right.
So I actually represent myself as my on-air guest. I am the guest to sell the product. So, you know, it takes about a year. Like, if they were to order now, it would be for the next year, just about. So it's very interesting to take things through development. Yeah, because everything's made out of the country. Something's made in Canada, China, all over the United States, every place. So, you know, we'll come up with a concept, then it's drawn out.
Right. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's really cool. It's super cool. I mean, even picking out colors and fabrics, everything about it is unique and was a learning experience for me as a businesswoman. But anyway, so they want to go on air. So I used to go on air at HSN about 12 hours a month here locally. I live in St. Petersburg, Florida, and why my husband moved here and I moved here from Los Angeles because HSN was here and we thought it would grow our business. Now it's been 18 years that we've lived here, and it did. It really did grow our business. Mm. But anyway, it was very weird to go from going to the studio, which is about a half an hour from my house, to then Skyping from my home. But what's happened, and with other people too that are Skyping from their home with these shopping televisions, if you go to any of the shopping televisions, you'll find it really intriguing, as in news, is that people have created these environments. So I have basically a television studio in my house. My husband has bought so much cameras and state-of-the-art cameras and high definition and monitors and lighting. What? So,
oh, you have a studio, TV studio in your house?
We basically set it up.
Oh, wow.
We have a large house. My house is about 10,000 square feet, so it's a big home. So upstairs in our house, we kind of had this nook that wasn't really being used for anything. And so we've created that. It's like a place where I do my shows for HSN and other places. Although we have taped and rather gone live from all over the house. Everything's live, actually. So what else I'm doing, which is really exciting, along with my own company, Rondeshire Intimates, and definitely go to rondeshire.com and check out our online. We have a sale for now.
Yeah,
we started doing a web show. And I did that because I was kind of depressed in the beginning, and I just felt like I needed to talk to humans. And so we just started doing, like, Facebook Live. That's how it started, from my living room. And then I said, you know, I think I can book this show. I mean, everybody else is doing the same thing. So we started booking it, and then we started streaming on StreamYard. And I have two producers that come over that produce the show, and we've had many guests on. We've been doing it for, I don't know, about 4 months now.
Oh, wow.
So it's called RondaShareSocialHour.com. I mean, RondaShare Social Hour. You can find us on RondaShareSocialHour.com or on Facebook or on Twitter or on YouTube. And we do it live every Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. And we broadcast from all of those places. And then the shows live on those sites and those places forevermore. And then we turn it into a podcast as well. We turn it into the audio, and turn it into a podcast. So we may mix up some of the shows. Like, we just had Judy Tenuta on. We had Gilbert Gottfried. I have, like, a lot of the Scream Queens from all the B-movies. I've had the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh.
I've had producers who produced all these films. We've just had a array of comics. It's been a blast for me. I've reconnected with so many people out of my past, plus a lot of new friends. And people are looking for ways to promote things that are coming out and coming on, and they really haven't had a way. So it's been a joy for me to help people, along with myself having really interesting guests on.
That's really cool. I'm sure fans are going to really enjoy checking that out. We'll talk more about that when we later on. But I wanted to get into your earlier career. And when you first got in, you were modeling. How did you get into modeling?
Well, how I really started off was I started off as a beauty queen in Louisiana.
Oh, did you?
Louisiana. And pageant, and that was my foray into it all, because I just fell in love with being, you know, on stage. I was a dancing school kid, and I loved dance. I thought I was going to major in dance and become a choreographer. So I went into contests, like, just so I could really get better and keep moving up in the dance world. But anyway, one thing led to another, and I was holding the title of Miss Louisiana, and I had a trip out to L.A., to represent the state and also to do some modeling out there.
Right.
And while I was out there, just serendipity, I was 19 at the time, I ran into the casting director for Happy Days.
Happy Days, yeah.
How many people do an interview? You know, it's amazing. You have a big career in show business, and then your life is run by a 6-pound dog. Back in the day, I had limos, photographers, people take care of everything. Now I've got a 6-pound dog. But that's important, especially in the pandemic. But anyway, I ended up auditioning for Happy Days, and just because she was like, wow, you would be perfect for this, our Christmas special. Would you like to audition? I'm like, of course. Now, this was many years ago. It was Happy Days and It's Hype.
You were the Foz's girlfriend on there, if I remember. Weren't you the...
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I played it several times. I'm not, I might sneak outside right now. So this was even before that. This is what gave me the desire and the yearning to go back to L.A. So I had this audition. Just came out of nowhere because I was out there modeling at this Louisiana. Met the casting director.
Mm-hmm.
Things happened in the right timing. I did not get the part, but I ended up reading with Henry Winkler and with Ron Howard. I mean, at the time, you know, usually when you have a reading for a show, the stars aren't there. You just read with the casting director. But that stuck in my head. Here I am in college. I think I was a sophomore at the time, a freshman maybe. And I'm reading with the stars who are my idols. So, you know,
how was it like working with Henry Winkler and Ron Howard and those guys?
They were great. I mean, I ended up not getting that part, but going back home, and my parents said, well, you can't move back to L.A. and keep in a college. So I went back, put it all on hold, finished my years at Loyola, and then I ended up going back to L.A. And one of the very first roles I was cast in was Happy Days.
Wow.
So it was full circle. It was very cool. They were great. I was very young when I got the Happy Days role. It's not overnight to make it in L.A. Sometimes you have the advantage of maybe having a parent in the business, a lot of stars. I didn't know anyone there. So every contact I made, every part that I made, it was like blood getting it. Like, definitely having to meet the right people, the casting people, going. I looked very hard at it. I did it like it was business, because it is. It's show business, but you have to work at it every single day, just like you work at any other job.
Yeah, you do. You really do.
So, I mean, I loved it, and I worked a lot. I was a working actor almost from the time I got there, and did many, many sitcoms and lots of episodic television shows that I was cast in.
I know. I think you were on Full House as well.
I was on Full House. I was on Three Company. I was on Married with Children. The list goes on. I mean, lots and lots of talk shows. I majored in broadcast journalism, so I always kind of wanted to host. It was always my love of interviewing people. So
yeah,
it's so nice. It's a little combination of all that, because not only did I get to do sketches and funny stuff, but then we would take the show all over California. Then eventually the show moved to New York.
Yeah.
While I was on it, and I interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people. And then during that time, you know, I always had a love for comedy. So I decided to do stand-up comedy back in the late 80s. That was a great journey, too, because there really wasn't that many females doing stand-up at that time. I mean, there was a few, but you had to either look a certain way or act a certain way and not be attractive. And I was told, oh, you're too sexy, you can be funny. And I wanted to prove them wrong. So I actually went to Playboy in 1991
right.
and bought them a list out called Women of Comedy. And they loved it. They were getting ready to run a comedy special on the Playboy Network with women. And I don't know why it fell apart, but they loved it. You have to love comedy and love humor. Anyway, then I got up all night in 91, and then when the show blew up, then they reached back out to me to do a celebrity tutorial, which I did.
How'd you land the original role, first originally ended up on USA Up All Night? Like, how were you approached to be on there?
Well, just like, you know, it was kind of like everything else. I had an agent and a manager, and my manager was, I was Dick Clark Management. Dick Clark had a management wing.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager who was working for me said, wow, USA Network, you knew someone at USA. So I had a little bit of an end. I still had to audition like everybody else, but he knew what they were looking for. They were looking for someone that was a little bit more over the top. They had a gal that had been on named Caroline Schwitt for a year and a half, and I thought she was quite good, but they wanted someone who was like over the top, very sexy, overtly sexy. I was being told at the time, you're too sexy for this, so I kept trying to tone it down. So finally, when I heard that they wanted overtly sexy, I said, what the heck? You know, I got the audition through my management company, and I went in like with all the other hundreds of women that were auditioning. And when they heard host, most of the women showed up, you know, like back in the day, newscasters used to wear suits and stuff. So I think they were thinking like a host, sitting down like a serious old host. I went in a low-cut dress, cut down in the front, cut low in the back, cut everything was showing everywhere.
Yeah.
Because they was like, I said, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to go all the way for this because that's what they wanted. And if it's too much, hey, at least I tried. So I went in. I went in as the character. I went in over the top. Disney blonde. And when I got the role, I should have insisted on them saying, don't call me Rhonda, call me some made-up name. Instead, I stuck with the Rhonda Shear name. And that's the only thing that I had to do wrong is that I got typecast for years as blonde. Although, if you really watch Up All Night, things that I said and the sketches were quite clever.
Yeah.
Or if you just went past it on a Friday night, maybe you would say, oh, it's the blonde with the big boobs and everything. And but if you really listen, like all their shows, not all, you have 450, but a lot of them are downloaded or uploaded onto YouTube. And if you watch them, they're very clever and they stand up to the day.
Yeah, they do. I watched some of them. Do you have a particular, out of the all the episodes of Up All Night you did, do you have a particular one that's your favorite or stands out or like moments? Like,
in terms of,
yeah, I know there's, you were on there for how long? Was it like 3-4 years? How long?
No, it was 8 years.
8 years, right? Yeah.
8 years, 450 shows.
Wow.
A lot with Gilbert. Probably the ones with Gilbert. The ones I really, okay, I loved doing the really sexy, sassy ones in the beginning that were overtly crazy, sexy with lingerie. That's what led me into the intimate apparel business. But
right.
I also loved my last year, the show, they decided to move it to New York to cut expenses. It was cheaper to fly me out to New York than it was to produce the show in L.A. So I got first class. It was all great. They flew me out to New York and did the show, which at USA was located. Well, they had an office in L.A. too, but it was
yeah.
their headquarters were in New York.
Right.
So they were flying me out. And it was like four shows at a time, Bentham. And my last producer, my last year, we did a lot more acting stuff. So I did a lot of my favorite characters. Like I did impressions of Lucille Ball, and I did impressions of Cher, and some of my favorite sitcom shows. And I think those were my personal favorites because it kind of stretched me in working as an actress as opposed to just being the blonde character. So I was able to play characters. Those last shows were some of my personal favorites of performing with really good New York yeah. actors, too. But I loved all of them. They were all different.
It was
some
good.
Were sexy, some were, I have a producer here, because we're doing this social hour, we'll take a lot of the clips from Up All Night and air them. And he just sent me a Christmas show from 94, and it was really funny. It was just really funny with me working with elves, Santa's elves, and they pretended like they were elves, and then once Santa left, they were just like card sharks playing poker. And
yeah, yeah, I've seen those. Those were hilarious.
You know, they're just fun. They're just fun, and they're harmless, and that's what was so cool about comedy and those kind of shows, that and you could get away with everything. No one was insulted. You didn't have to be politically correct and put down everybody, everything. We put the network down.
It was a different time back then. It's not...
Yeah, and I'm so sad for that, because I'm sad for, you know, like I speak in front of a lot of young people in colleges, not during COVID, but I have, and I'm sure I will again, and entrepreneurial classes, and it's hard to make people laugh. I have to literally say, you know, what I just said was funny. And then once they feel like it's okay and it's funny, then they laugh.
Yeah.
So it's like people, I feel like young people have lost the ability. They're afraid to laugh because they're so tuned into the phone and certain things that I don't know if they're just not used to live experiences. But
yeah, it's just anyway. A different era now, like compared to the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. It's just different now.
It's hard to believe it was more freewheeling then, but it was.
It was. It really was.
Like, one of my idols is Joan Rivers and Don Rickles. I mean, these are people that did comedy against, like, you could never, I mean, not racial slurs, but they would make, you know, they would kid about if you were Italian, if you were Asian. But it was all done in fun. I mean, they were Jewish and they would make fun of being Jewish. Mm-hmm. So you can't do any of that. You could never do that today.
No, it's, times have definitely changed. It's really unfortunate. But
because you know what it is, like, the first thing as a comic, I was self-deprecating to myself. I would make fun of being blonde, with big boobs and big hair. But I was first, if I was self-deprecating and the audience knew that it was okay to laugh, especially the men in the audience, I mean, it's the women. Mm-hmm. So because I was doing a sexier, the big hair and short skirts, I had to make the women in the audience when I was going to stand up laugh first so that the boyfriends would know that it was okay that they could laugh as well.
Yeah.
You don't want some girl being mad at you if her boyfriend's laughing. So one thing, it was okay. So self-deprecation was my, that's how I got it. That's what worked for me. And I still do that. Even when I'm selling, I still kind of make fun of myself, and it works. People feel comfortable when you kind of put fun at this.
Yeah, it breaks the ice somewhat when you do
it
that.
It does. It breaks the ice. But, you know, you have to be really tiptoeing now. But it's okay. What I love about live television, even the sales stuff, is you have to adapt today and you have to adapt to everything. And
yeah,
it keeps me young and fresh in terms of, like, relating to audiences, because my product sells to all ages, shapes, and sizes.
That's good. That's really good. It can appeal to anyone, then, if it's like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So I'm just asking. I was just interviewed, and Dominic asked me about how we're different from Victoria's Secret. I said, because I love Victoria's Secret. I mean, I shopped there when I was young. But we have a wider span of an audience. I think all girls start there. The first book comes from there.
Yeah.
But we cater to younger, to That's and I never knew it'd be a businesswoman. You know,
yeah. Yeah, right.
And comedy and acting, wanted to do a sitcom, never dreamed that I'd have like a huge company, and I'm very, very proud of it.
That's pretty. That's really cool. That's still really cool. Yeah, I think we touched on this a little bit, but you made like 3 appearances for Playboy magazine, I believe, doing a few shoots. How was that experience working with Playboy?
It was great, and I had to take this long-term relationship with Playboy. I met them back in 78, actually, when I was a really long time ago, before you even were thought of, but yeah. I was young, very young myself, and Playboy was coming to town and doing a layout called Women of the South, and I had a modeling agency. I was a little young model in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and I said, oh, I'd love to meet with them, and so she goes, well, just go meet with the photographer. I went and met with them, and I said, well, I know I'm wasting your time because I'm not going to take off my clothes. I would never do that. And it's not me. He goes, well, we always shoot in these layouts, gals that are completely clothed, and then we do the others. So he shot me, and he says, I can't guarantee you'll be in the magazine. It's up to the editors when it gets back to New York. So sure enough, the little my picture wasn't a huge picture, ended up in the magazine, fully clothed, wearing a dress that like a Southern belle would wear, you know, like one of these big old-fashioned dresses with a heavy coat underneath it.
Right.
And totally close. And I was reigning as, not with Louisiana, but at some other organization, and they de-queened me.
Wow.
Just because I was a Playboy. And I took them to court, and I sued to be reinstated. It became a craziness. And then I ended up running at the office against the guy who had me thrown out. It was craziness, but it actually started a lifelong connection with Playboy. They thought it was so hysterical that I would be thrown out of the magazine without even my clothes being taken off. And then, so they would write about whenever I got cast in anything, Playboy had this back section about keeping up with, you know, our gals or whatever, and they would write me up. So then, you know, that's when I had the idea to bring the women of comedy down the line to them. I just had great contacts with Playboy, and I was always on the guest list for the Friday night parties, or not for all the movies, some of the movies, but like all the big parties. So for years, I went to the Playboy Mansion, to the big party.
Yeah.
And I was never a playmate. I had a short stint as a bunny, literally, like for 2 weeks at the Playboy Club in L.A. when I first moved there. But I was so bad at counting change that I couldn't keep my job.
Yeah.
And I was too shy. I was really young, too.
Yeah.
You know, 23 or just turning 23. But anyway, just a long relationship. And then when Up All Night exploded, they came back and asked me to do this layout for a lot of money. So I was like, yeah.
That's still hilarious to me. They would strip you just because you weren't even nude in the shoot, and they still upset about
right.
that.
It was just, well, that's the dichotomy of New Orleans. New Orleans has this high society, you know, with the Mardi Gras parade, the debutantes, and very, very religious. And then at the same time, you could be naked on Mardi Gras and girls flashing you for beads. So it's like, it's kind of hypocritical, just the city. I don't know if it's bad now as it was then, but they would say, oh, so nicey-nicey-nice. But so back in the day, it may be a lot different now, but you know, things are more open now. But back then, oh, you were naughty if you were in Playboy.
Oh, good.
Just the connotation of being a Playboy got me in trouble. Not even the fact that I had not only full clothes, but I was wearing one of those long, old-fashioned evening gowns.
Yeah, it's just funny to think about to me.
It is. Really, well, that's what they thought. Playboy thought it was so funny, which is why they became long-term friends and kept up with me. And whenever I would do anything that was a stepping stone in my career, they'd write about it in issues. So I was always in front of Half Star through the years. So when finally I got the Up All Night layout in 93, which was Jenny McCarthy's very first layout, and Jerry Seinfeld was on the front. It's a very iconic magazine that I was in. It's very hard to find. It's a collector's item because they only had a few men on the cover of Playboy. And again, she's still hot to this day, McCarthy. So being her first layout and me being in there, it was just a really cool magazine to be in.
Yeah.
And I'm having a lot of humor. We put a lot of humor into the shoot. I mean, it was, again, making fun of myself. We were in like, I was in a bowling alley and just crazy, up all night, open all night places. We even shot a lot of stuff live, like on location in a real working bowling alley.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember something about that. Yeah. That's yeah. How was it like working with Gilford Gottfried? I know you guys did some shows together, too.
Great. And I was on his podcast recently. He was on my show. We did a lot of Up All Night together. He's brilliant. His brain is just brilliant. He can be so incredibly blue, but yet so incredibly genius at being blue. And at the same time, somehow, I never thought the man would get married. He is married to the most normal, loveliest woman with the two most normal, loveliest children. Son, acts like him. Cute like his mother, but looks but acts like Gilbert with the face, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But they're both good kids, and he's a great father, and I'm really happy for him. He's a good man.
He's good. He's hilarious, too. I love him in the Problem Child movies, man. He's...
Oh, my God. He's done so much. Like, he's never stopped working. It's funny because Gilbert never got that sitcom either, like, that he's the star of. But he's been in so many things. He's been the voice of so many things. He's never stopped working. I mean, obviously right now he's not working, but he does the stand-up. Another thing to your listeners, I have to promote myself on Cameo.com. I don't know if you know what Cameo does.
Oh, I know. I know all about Cameo, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm on there, and I'm getting booked. Probably not as much as I should be because I'm promoted enough, but I am. If anybody's looking for something special as a gift, you go to Cameo.com/Rhonda Shear, and for a nominal fee. Certainly not what Gilbert charges. I will do a private message. I just got booked today. It was really funny. And I get these funny requests like, could you wear a black leather dress and sing happy birthday like Marilyn Monroe? I don't have a black leather dress, but I'll put on something black, by the thing.
That's a, yeah, I know celebrities must get so many funny requests on Cameo.
I think so.
I've seen some of the videos on there.
Depending on who you are, I think, and depending on your background, I think that I get some pretty funny ones.
Yeah. How long have you been on Cameo now?
Not that long. I mean, I didn't even know about it until a couple months ago.
So yeah, it's really starting to blow up. I'm seeing more and more celebrities on there now. It's pretty cool.
It's a quick dollar, and you can donate it. You can give it to a charity, or you can take a few cents home. I mean, some people make a lot of money on it. I'm not looking for that much, but
yeah.
Some people are asking crazy amounts, and I guess they get it.
That's true. I was going to say.
I just saw these things. Just he must stay home all day long and just do them by the 100.
Yeah. Just keep churning them out. You also appeared at WrestleMania. This is a big wrestling fan of me coming out now. But you were at WrestleMania 10, too, as a special guest, I believe. How were your approaches for WrestleMania 10? And how was your experience working with WWE at the time? Or WWE at the time?
It was great. Dogs are going to bark. I hear someone coming in. Wait. Yeah. Nope. Calm down. Let me see if I can head him off the path. Calm down, girl. So, at the time, USA Network aired WWE. What is it? It's WWE something else now.
Yeah.
It was WWF back then.
Yeah, it was WWF back then, yeah.
Okay, so when it was World Wrestling Federation, so USA aired all their shows. So they would cross-promote. They would have the wrestlers on Up All Night, and then they would send me the shows to cover things. And then they got to know me at WWF. So I think somebody might have fallen out. I think they had someone booked, and then someone... No, that was another show. No, I take it back. That was Circus of the Stars. Someone was booked to show out, and then I got it. But no, this one, they reached out to my agency and said, you know, Ron has done a lot with us on cross-promoting with What the Heaven is Our Bell Girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had different sketches. And Burt Reynolds was on.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Burt Reynolds was on that year. And, the guy from Hair Club for Men, I forget his name. He was on there, too.
Yeah. And then what's her name? Jenny Garth.
Yeah, from 90210. Yeah, she was on there.
Right. So it was fun. I mean, it was just fun, and they paid a lot of money for very little time on camera. But I have to tell you, like, there's a couple of things in my career that people ask me about all the time.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
Yeah,
is it? I had one line in baseball, and that's the other. And, like, you would think that some of the things I did were so big, but something about WWE and wrestling fans. And I forget the guy that they had, you have a faux relationship with. He was really big, too. I'm blanking on his name. But
Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels. Thank you.
Yeah, he was on Up All Night, too. I remember that. That's actually, that's how I first learned of the show, actually, when I was a little kid, because I saw Shawn Michaels on there.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels was on, and they had he and I, the Wrestling Magazine, whatever the magazine, you know, they had a magazine that went along with it, decided to have a faux relationship, and then he would be fighting me for the mirror and trying to make himself look better. I can't tell you how many people think that I was actually with him. Really, he was very sweet. I mean, we became friendly, but it was all completely set up in Vegas. We did this major photo shoot all over town and acted romantic, and it was fun. It was just fun. And just, it was a complete funny with the WWF thing, or now WWE. What really was silly over that whole thing that was not set up, as like John and I was a set up situation, but National Enquirer, one of the big tabloids back then, claimed that Burt Reynolds and I were doing the wild thing in one of the dressing rooms behind the scenes.
Oh, really?
And I get, it was on the front page of the magazine, and there was no pictures of us because it wasn't real. I mean, they had pictures of us from interviewing him from the event and pictures just that they put in there. But But do you know Burt Reynolds called me because we were friendly and he was upset. He thought I planted it.
Really, eh?
I would never plan something like this. I mean, I wouldn't hurt my own career either, you know? I think he was still with Lonnie then, Lonnie Anderson. But anyway,
yeah.
So realized that I had nothing to do with it. But yeah, they wouldn't retract it. And they, I mean, they were speaking to me and saying, you know, you were behind the scene with him. You were seen in the dressing room. And then I was told, don't talk to him anymore unless I had an attorney. So,
oh, wow.
Crazy. They were telling me, and I'm like, you guys are crazy.
Well, it's a crazy times back then. The 90s were crazy, man.
Well, it just shows you fake media was even fake back then.
Yeah. Man.
But anyway, but you know, there's also the saying that any publicity is good publicity, so.
That's true, too. Yeah. So, as long as they're talking about you, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if they're talking about you, it's good.
Yeah.
It's a slow press week. But yeah, I've had some really great times in my life. I mean, I love the stand-up comedy. Years have been stand-up.
Yeah, what did you prefer? You did stand-up comedy, you did modeling, you did your talk show host. Out of all those you've done.
I love comedy and I love acting. I love it all. I love comedy. I love being able to make an audience laugh. It was just such a feel-good feeling. Mm-hmm. But it also led me to having no fear of anything. Because once you do stand-up comedy and you're standing raw in front of an audience and you don't make them laugh, then basically, you know, I mean, what are you going to do for the next hour, almost an hour of being on it, you know,
you're right.
Stage? So you lose the fear. You lose the fear. So for me, shooting live shows or shooting anything now, I have no fear. And yet I'm actually personally a shy person. Like if I walk into a party and there's a lot of people there, 50 people, 20 people, 10 people, I'm not good at like mingling around. But in front of an audience or behind a microphone, I'm fine.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that in the performing arts.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would surprise a lot of people you see on TV that you think aren't shy or like introverted like that. I don't know. I think trying to think, there's a couple of celebrities I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But yeah,
a lot of actors.
Yeah,
actors are more shy than I think. Stand up, we kind of can fall back on humor and know we can make a funny comment.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, you see actors on these late night shows, and they're not real good. They're not necessarily, or especially serious actors, are not as fast on the theater. They're just shy. Comics are always good. Like, I love to put comics on my own show because usually they've got, if they can't just speak off the cuff, then usually they're going to feed you material that you can go into.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true, actually.
I always love having comics on. Whenever I have a comic on, I know, you know, I always try to end my show with a comic, somebody who's funny, because we all need, like I said, we just need that humor right now.
Yeah.
And they need to work, you know. No one's getting to perform live, so they need to keep their chops up, you know.
Say, you love stand-up comedy. Who was your favorite, like, stand-up comic who might inspire you? Like, who are your favorites?
I'm not sure if you know a gal named Rita Rudner. She's still performing. I loved her. I loved Joan Rivers as my idol. And she actually personally helped me a lot. I was on her talk shows and on her radio shows, and I met her for the year. She was just lovely to me. So she was probably my idol. But then a gal named Rita Rudner, who's still out there and working. And she was very big in the 90s. Were like my favorite. Because they both did it with femininity and class. I didn't want to go out there with jeans on and just slam men. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be funny and attractive to women too. And have them look up to me. So I did it for a lot of years, but what it did is it helped my hosting skills. It helped me even sell. Because when I got to HSN and I had a product, I had never sold in a store. I'd never worked in a store. I'd never been a salesperson. So everybody goes, well, how can you sell so well? And I go, I think because I was just selling myself through stand-up comedy for years. When you're on stage, you're selling yourself. Selling your material, like you're pitching your material, they have to laugh. So basically, I just thought that I'm always funny trying to sell bras and panties, but I do insert some humor into it.
That's good. Yeah.
We're talking about intimate parts of your body, so you have to be able to make light of it. You know?
It makes it more entertaining and lighthearted when you do that.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, absolutely. Sales are good. There's nothing the matter with it. I mean, you're giving information. I'm constantly talking about sizing and what size you should wear and what fabric. And you have to talk about the design of the product. But then you also have to talk about, you know, a lot of women that have had breast cancer wear my product. So you have to be able to talk about things like that, but in a light manner that it doesn't get everybody down. So it's an interesting, I love it.
Yeah.
It's unique. And I like that I can type right from my house and I don't have to go into a studio.
Yeah, that's really, you can do it. Yeah, it's way more convenient. I was going to say, you've done a lot of charity work as well. Tell us about some of the charities you've worked with.
Yeah, I do a lot. Not as much this year, because actually I've been the chairperson of a lot of events like the SCCA, American Heart Association. I do work with a special school for young women here locally. I've done American Cancer Society. I mean, I could go on. I've done charity work for local theaters, just on and on. I mean, the list is like too many to even name. Right now we're running something on my website for American Heart Association because I was going to chair one of their big balls this year,
right.
But they couldn't hold it. I was also going to chair another event this year for called the Fairy Godfather organization, where it's these two gentlemen who give basically makeovers to young women who can't afford to go to prom, or to makeovers to abused women, or makeovers to women that have gone through cancer. And so it's a really cool organization. It's local. So we were getting ready to do this huge gala this year, and then COVID struck. So
yeah.
Guys are too new to try to do. A lot of people have gone on and done what we call it cyber events, and they raise money. And some events, like American Heart Association, raise a lot, but that's because they're really an established organization. But mm-hmm. some of the smaller organizations, it's too hard for them to raise a lot.
That's true.
Last year, I made a lot of money for SGCA, and I was very proud of that. It was not this past October, but the October before. And it was a huge event. They've never held a gala like that, our local SPCA. And that's not ASPCA, the local SPCA for Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And we made $400,000, and it was a huge amount of money. And I was so proud of that because they had gone from making, I think, the most like $40,000 or $50,000 before that for one event. So I was really proud of that.
It's pretty impressive.
I mean, I'm really getting people to spend money.
You have a knack for it.
I love my dog. I believe in both of my parents died with heart issues. Like, you know, I've had cancer in my family. So I've been touched by a lot of these different events and different organizations. So if I can do it, I can't do them all. I've hosted things like March of Dimes,
yeah.
Easter Field. And it's just, I can't do them all. So I try to, my company always loves to at least do something. Like, we'll donate a basket or something to their event for a silent auction or a live auction. If I'm not chairing or doing something else. But this is the lightest year, me personally, because, again, I was chairperson, but I advised the founders of the organization not to throw anything this year. We feasibly could have because Florida is open, but I just don't think people would feel very comfortable going to any event. I know I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. It's smart, best way
it's
to scary. Do it.
If the weddings have been the super spreaders, the people that have held weddings and events, they've been the ones that have come back and really had the problem.
It really, yeah. Maybe down the line it's something you can do again.
No,
but right now, yeah, it's kind of... You also wrote a book as well a couple years ago, didn't you?
I did, and I'm very proud of that. You can go to RonnaShear.com and pick up my book Up All Night, and Life Lessons from an Accidental Feminist, and it gives you a lot of great ideas for becoming an entrepreneur and going into business for the first time if you're a business person or have a product you want to get to market. It also takes people through my Hollywood career.
Right.
So I'm really proud of it. It took me 2 years to write it. Not because it took 2 years to write the whole thing, but I would get started and then I would stop and I would get started and then I would stop. It's hard to sit down and write a book. It really is. Like, I would have these great days to be really motivated, and other days I'm like, oh, I just don't feel like talking about myself. But then, you know, it took like three times to keep doing it and getting it down to where I started coming up with these tips for entrepreneurs. And I've had many men read the book, and they go, this is a really good book for businessmen as well. So even though it seems like it would be like fun, interesting, because I do talk about the Fonz in it and different Hollywood moments that I went through, the Me Too moments that I had in my life, it's a really fun, interesting read, and I'm very, very proud of it.
Yeah, I'm sure some fans will be interested in checking it out. You said you could get it on your website, RonnaShear.com?
Yeah, you can get it on my website along with great products, but I also sell masks on there that are really great. I have Up All Night masks with the Up All Night logo on it. They're really cute and they're really collectible. Now, I'm very, you know, proud of doing all those different things. Giving back, like, to organizations when you feel like you finally made it, and to a certain degree, at least financially. I mean, I can't stop working tomorrow, nor would I want to.
Yeah.
But giving back when you finally reach a point where you feel like you can is such a great feeling, to help organizations and charities and things that, you know, I love animals. And I didn't have animals as a kid. And so, obviously, you've heard them throughout this whole talk. So, you know, I love animals. So I've got rescues here in my house, and they're my babies.
Yeah. You said you have five of them.
I've got five.
Wow.
I do. I got five little chihuahuas. I had a Yorkie, lost her, lost a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them along the way. but I have 5 now. I've had up to 6 at a time.
Wow. That's a whole squad.
Yeah, I have a whole squad. I had 3 others that I lost, and they were my first animals, and it was heartbreaking. You never get over them. Even though you have new babies, you never get over the ones you had. They become family members.
Yeah, you get so attached to them. When one of them passes, it's just like another family member. They really are pretty much another family member at that point.
Totally family member.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Anyway, before we wrap this up, any final words to any of your listeners?
Hopefully you guys will tune in with me, as long as tuning in with you as well.
Yeah.
Your podcast. But I also have a podcast, where you can find podcasts called Rhonda Shear Social Hour. So Rhonda Shear Social Hour, the show, you just go to RhondaShearSocialHour.com, read more about it, see past episodes, but we air at 9 p.m. every Saturday night Eastern Time. And we're on, you can go to Rhonda Shear Facebook, you can go to Rhonda Shear's YouTube page, it's called Rhonda Shear TV. Subscribe when you watch the show. It's on Rhonda Shear Twitter. So it's really cool, and we've built up a tremendous following and continue to get about 10,000 followers a week, and it's really cool, and keep building it. I'm really enjoying that process.
That's pretty cool, yeah. You got a lot going on right now, and yeah, I'm sure people will definitely check out the podcast. He says, what day do you release episodes again?
It's live on Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube under Rhonda Shear TV, and on RhondaShearSocialHour.com.
Okay,
we're live there. What's fun about the web, and hopefully we'll be doing that on Roku, is that you can just do these things yourself. You don't have to wait for anybody else. You can just put them up there yourself, and you can monetize it by selling ads, or you can monetize it by selling products.
Yeah, you can work on your own schedule whenever you want to do it, like how often you want to do it. Yeah, that's what I like about podcasts, too. And yeah, it's a good thing about the internet and social media and stuff like that. You can pretty much be your own boss.
Well, and what I love about it, too, and I guess I'll let you go because I know I have to jump on a call, too, but what I love about podcasts is that you can take your time and get to know your guests, where I know that you young people, and I love this, I love TikTok, and I love Instagram, I love all of those, but you're just being like seconds. So I think people are into storytelling, and maybe it's because of the pandemic. I think people don't mind listening to an entire podcast with either one or two guests or even more guests. I think sometimes we have 3 guests in mind, but I think it's a little bit more long-term, and I think that it's great for younger people because this is the world I grew up in where people would talk longer on talk radio.
Yeah.
But now everything's so fast, like Instagram, seconds. So you don't get to know really what's behind people.
That's true, yeah.
Them. And I think you can learn from that. I think it's just interesting.
It is. It really is. You're completely right about that. But
I think podcasts are awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. That's why I do them. Yeah, I just want to thank you for coming on. It's been a blast having you
on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I will call Marie to get you a book and some math out. She may reach out to get an address from you.
All right. That sounds awesome. I appreciate that. But yeah, I'll definitely reach out again sometime in the future, and all the best to you.
Hey, please, because we'll be rebooting up all night, and I would love to talk to you about that again.
Sure. Yeah. We could connect again sometime earlier next year. We'll do with something else.
Yay. You got it. All right.
All right. Yeah. We'll be in touch. Thanks again for Rhonda Shear for coming on the Throwback Podcast. It was great talking to her and catching up. If you want to keep up with Rhonda and hear more from her, be sure to check her out on her podcast, The Rhonda Shear Social Hour, which is available on all podcast platforms, or check her out on RhondaShearSocialHour.com.
Well, let me tell you something here, Daddy. When I was a little Jimmy, I would always sneak away late at night and watch yourself up all night, especially when Rhonda Shear was hosting. It was one of my favorite shows from the 90s.
I agree with you, Jimmy. It was one of my favorites as well. Hey, man, what are you doing over there? You've been standing up this entire show, and you keep looking out the window.
Oh, my God. It's kind of hard for me to sit down for a long time still right now. I still got some small swelling going on in.
Okay. We get the picture. Maybe next time you'll think twice before you decide to shove a squirrel down your pants. But what are you doing by the window, though?
Oh, I'm waiting for a special delivery. Oh, here it is. It's here now, Daddy. Woo!
Okay, well, there's a UPS truck outside now. What kind of delivery is this?
Oh, you'll see, Daddy. Hey, Rap, can you answer that? It still kind of hurts for me, too.
Oh, yeah. Let me open the door. Hey.
Sign here, please. Thank you.
Jimmy, here you... Okay, the delivery guy just... Jimmy, what is this?
Wait, let me open it first. You'll see.
Well, folks, while Jimmy's busy opening whatever it is, whatever package he's getting here, I just want to say we hope you really enjoyed this edition of the Throwback Podcast. Be sure to be on the lookout for our next episode in the coming weeks. As always, if you like what you hear today, please be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you download your favorite podcast for more exclusive interviews. As well, be sure, if you like what you hear, to give us some feedback and check us out on Twitter at @ThrowPodcast or on Instagram at @Throwback_podcast.
Here it is, Daddy. It's my new donut pillow cushion. Now I can finally sit down in peace, Daddy. Woo!
Well, that must be a relief. Wait a minute. Is your face on this cushion? Why would you put your face? You know what? Never mind. You know what? I'm not even going to. You know what? Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter @ThrowPodcast